Good morning. I was told to speak loudly, so I'm sorry if I yelled. It's funny when you're up here and you're trying to be respectful of the words that you're reading or they're respectful of the things that you're saying, but in order for them to make sense or to be meaningful, they actually have to be heard. So I will attempt this morning to be direct and loud enough that everybody can hear. So as we get started this morning, I'd like just to take a moment for us to let our hearts and minds be quieted. In the stillness, in the silence, we attend to your presence, our God, and we feel you filling us from within, illuminating our minds, warming our hearts, stirring our spirits, strengthening our hands outstretched, transforming our lives, energizing our lives, until every fiber of our being is filled with your presence. Blessed are you, God of life. Blessed are you who rejoices in our worship. Blessed are you who attends to the cry of the poor. Blessed are you who hopes, who offers hope in the hard times. Blessed are you, our God, whose name is love, whose presence is light, whose heart is justice, whose gift is grace, whose life is hope. Let our whole being resonate in praise to you. Let every aspect of our lives show that we live for you. Praise be to you, our God, forever and ever. Amen. We will now have our first hymn, number 6, here in this place. And I do apologize, I don't have a song leader, so please sing loudly and you please stand. Welcome once again. To start, are there any guests that need to be announced this morning? I do have one name or one group of names. Anita, Craig, Isabella, and Lucy are from England, and they're visiting Harry and Kathy Teason. So welcome here. Anyone else? Welcome here. It's wonderful summertime when people come to visit and they join us in worship. So now turning to some of the announcements, you'll notice a small table in the back there that has some papers taped down to it. There are a few names that are written on it, and in case you don't know what that is a volunteer list for Sunday school. And there are a variety of different things that we need people for, all the way from being a teacher, all the way to being a prayer support for our children's ministry. And we look forward to any and all that are willing to come out and help in that piece of our very important work that we do here in church. Thanksgiving every month, you'll see in your bulletins a list of items that are needed for Union Gospel Mission. So that's for the month of August. And was really happy to see number 8, that our clothing fair is going to continue here at NKMC. I know it's an excellent outreach program for us here in our church, reaching out to the local community and providing good quality clothing to people in need. So please drop off information will be given in due course. All right. So then to our church family. So condolences go out to Howard and Angela Epp, John and Mary Gunther, Greg and Shannon Gauthier. I'm sorry, Gunther, Tracy LeClaire, Ike and Anna Gunther, and their family and friends on the passing of their father and brother-in-law and uncle, David Epp, in Kelowna on Wednesday, August 13th. Arrangements are pending at this time. Please keep Louise Lage in your prayers as she's still recovering in hospital at this time. Also, Terry McKee and her family. Terry McKee is continuing with her chemotherapy treatments, so keep her and the family in prayers. John and Martins also, as John continues to struggle with the after effects of chemo. John Zacharias would like to thank everyone for the prayers and well wishes he's received. The surgery was a success. That's excellent news. And he is now at home. Any other prayer requests or sharing that would like to that anybody would like to do at this time? I do have a microphone if necessary. If not, if you could bow your heads for a word of prayer, please. Dear Lord, God, you are our safe place to hide. You are our mighty fortress. You are our ever-present help in the time of need. We can and do turn to you in the midst of our troubles. And Lord, our world is full of difficulties. Lord, we may feel afraid, but it does not overcome us, because we know we can put our trust in you. Your love and grace are like streams of water in the desert. Your joy comes splashing down upon us. You refresh and renew us like rain coming down on the earth, bringing your water of life to those who are thirsty and living in a dry and weary land. We pray for those in our congregation in need of your healing, Louise Lage, Terry McKee, John Martins, John Zacharias. We pray for the family and friends of David Epp. We also pray for all those listed in our bulletin who are in personal care homes. We pray for those unnamed, those people that are in our hearts that need your hope and help. Where there are wars, bring your peace. Where there is starvation, fill the bellies, their empty bellies. Where there is despair, bring your hope. Where there is animosity, bring your reconciliation. Where there is abuse, bring your tender mercies. Where there is poverty, bring your charity. Where there is illness, bring your healing. Where there is grief, bring your gentleness. Where there is injustice, bring your justice. Lord, you are our mighty fortress, our strong deliverer, In you we put our trust and release ourselves into your hands. We will now have another hymn, hymn number 76. This is where the children's story is supposed to be, and there's just a couple of guests that I don't know if they would like to come up or not, but I'll be honest, I don't really have a good children's story today anyway. You can laugh, because I've been thinking about this and looked at the title of the sermon for today, and it says Trouble Builds Character. So the children's story was going to go something like this: who here has made a mistake in their lives? And then everybody in the congregation puts their hands up. Okay, I'm asking the question. Who here has made a mistake in their time? Yeah, there you go. And then the next part was going to go something along the line. I didn't see. John, did you put your hand up? Okay, thanks. And then I was going to say something about, talk a little bit about God's forgiveness, the guidance that God gives us when we make mistakes in the Bible, that we should be listening to our friends, family, and our pastor, of course, and our especially our church family. We should look to them for guidance when we do make mistakes. So I have no idea if that's going to fold into the sermon or not, but that was the children's story for today. Now we get another song while we take the collection. I'm sorry, I suppose I should tell you what number. It is in the bulletin, number 151. Our scripture reading for this morning is Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. Though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her, she will not fail. God will help her at the break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress."
Good morning. Everybody's awake. Right on. Pastor Gary, I think this is actually going to fit along with the psalm more than I thought it would. So I guess that could be a good thing. Have any of you heard of the hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul"? Again, let's put up hands. Everyone but John. Sorry, I don't even know who John is. Oh, John. Oh, I know John. Horatio Safford was a wealthy Chicago lawyer with a thriving legal practice. A beautiful home, a wife, four daughters, and a son. He was also a devout Christian and faithful student of the scriptures. His circle of friends included Dwight L. Moody, Ira Sankey, and various other well-known Christians of the day. At the very height of his financial and professional success, Horatio and his wife Anna suffered the tragic loss of their young son. Shortly thereafter, on October 8, 1871, the Great Chicago Fire destroyed almost every real estate investment that Spafford had. In 1873, Spafford scheduled a boat trip to Europe in order to give his wife and daughters a much-needed vacation and time to recover from the tragedy. He also went to join Moody and Sankey on an evangelistic campaign in England. Spafford sent his wife and daughters ahead of him while he remained in Chicago to take care of some unexpected last-minute business. Several days later, he received a notice that his family's ship had encountered a collision. All four of his daughters drowned, only his wife survived. With a heavy heart, Spafford boarded a boat that would take him to his grieving Anna in England. It was on this trip that he penned those now famous words: "When sorrow like sea billows roll, it is well with my soul." I believe that at least to some degree, God allows trouble in our lives to build character. And again, if we were to raise hands and said, who has not had trouble in their life? We all have. In many different ways. It for sure starts when you're a teenager and only gets worse and more difficult as you deal with bigger and more serious issues. God wants to walk alongside us in all of life, with the good, the bad, the ugly, the beautiful, all of it. It is often that in the hard times that we call out to God. Usually when things are going well, we pat ourselves on the back and often don't spend much time thinking about God. But when trials come in your life, they present an opportunity for you to choose. Do I push God away or do I draw God close? If I get the news that I have cancer, does that make me want to ignore God and push him away, or does that make me want to say, God, come, I need you? What does trouble, what does a crisis do to you? How do you react when a crisis comes in life? What is your tendency? we should use the trouble in our lives to build character, to build Christian character, to allow that time to build something in us. I want to read from Romans chapter 8, and I'm going to kind of start in the middle. Oh, for this one, I'm going to need these glasses, I think. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for all of us, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who is raised to life. It is at the right hand of God, is at the right hand of God, and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, neither angels, nor demons, neither the present, nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Trust and faith grow through trials. In a marriage, for a couple to survive 5 and 10 and 20 and 50 and 60 years, they have to work through trouble. There is no other way. And we just celebrated a wedding anniversary recently here. And these things happen when we work through all the different issues that there are in life with the relationship and saying, well, that's my favorite piece of chicken. I'm going to get that every time we have chicken. And you know what? I always like this, so I'm going to do it my way. And for a marriage to work, I think there's times where we need to say, this is your favorite, you have it, and we need to bless the other person. And there are times when we struggle with kids, if kids come into the picture and saying, you're way too lax with the kids, you're way too strict, well, I want them to go to a private school, well, I want them to go to a public school. How do we work through that? I don't like it when your parents are here. I don't like it when your parents are here, right? And or values. I think this should be more important than life. I think we should have lots and lots and lots of money. I think we shouldn't have hardly any money. I think we should live a simple style. No, 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 I want expensive stuff. What are our life goals? Those kind of things are real issues. And each of you have your own, in marriage or when you're dating or even just as a single person in relationships. To overcome that, to be good in the end, you have to overcome trouble. You have to work through some stuff. Character develops with overcoming. If we do have children, or we know of children that have been given everything, and as soon as they have a problem, mom solves it, or dad solves it, or dad buys his way out of it, those children never seem to grow up. I was just told the story of a family where the father, they had four kids, the father committed suicide at one point. The mother remarried, was a very abusive father. She remarried again. The next guy was a little better, but she's constantly giving money to the kids. And the kids are in their late 20s, early 30s, and are still young kids and not able to hold down a job, not able to take care of themselves, not able to provide. So yeah, I'd love to have kids, but you are... to the wife, you're going to take the kids to daycare on your way to work. I'm not changing diapers. You're pretty much going to do everything, but I really want to have kids. That's kind of the outcome, I think, of people not having to deal with trouble, not having to figure their way out of a financial crisis, a relationship crisis. We gain character when we find ways to solve stuff, and we, in that finding ways to solve stuff, finding ways as Christians to do it with God. And that to me is the biggest deal. And as it is in real life, so it is with our journey with God. God wants us to develop from immature Christian children to mature Christian adults. And it's a lifelong process. And it doesn't come automatically with age. And we know people that are older people already and are still not mature as people. We know people that have gone to church for many years and are not mature Christians. And I'm not here to point fingers at anyone. I'm just kind of saying that that's the reality. And we need to be willing to work through some of these things with God. At work, I have a co-worker. We became good friends. But over time, he didn't like the way I did certain things at work. Some of our job overlapped. And it got to the point where he tried to get rid of me. And so he would do different things with the hope that I would be pushed out of the organization, and then he would just kind of, problem's gone. And I wanted to retaliate and kick him and punch him. But in my time alone with God, it just came to me, or became clear that I need to let God fight my battle. That's part of the psalm that you read this morning about all the trouble. And part of all the stories with Israel and how sometimes they'd try to fight for themselves and they would lose and all kinds of trouble would happen. God said, I want to fight your battles. And so I got to that place and I said, okay, God, I can't handle this. I actually had some information that I thought I could retaliate with and knock him out a bit. But I chose not to, and I worked through it with God. And over time, things have really changed, and there's no more pushing me out of work. And my job description is changing a bit, and different things are happening. And it may work out better in the end than it was. And I'm not putting myself up as a hero this morning, but for me it was a huge crisis. It was a tremendous struggle, and one where I felt that I could retaliate, but chose not to. And with that, God turned it around to something. So far, that's good. The story's not over. But I can see that it is much better than had I intervened. But what it did is it forced me to come to a place of trusting God and saying, God, I will trust you to take care of my future. I need a job. I need a place to go to work. My character was being attacked to some degree, my reputation. And to learn to put that into God's hands was a difficult thing for me. It was a very stressful, long period of time. But in one, I feel that I have grown in my trust and my faith in God, and I'm able to handle maybe some bigger things. If we look at Job, so Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and afflicted Job with painful sores from the soles of his feet to the top of his head. Then Job took a piece of broken pottery and scraped himself with it as he sat among the ashes. His wife said to him, "Are you still holding on to your integrity? Curse God and die." He replied, "You are talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble?" In all this, Job did not sin in what he said. Trouble is a part of our lives. And how do we handle it? Can we, in the midst of trouble, learn to trust in God? When something really bad is happening to our kids, to a child of ours, can we trust God that He still loves us, loves our child, and that He will walk through it with us? Are we still able, in the midst of an ugly crisis, are we still able to see something to be thankful for? For me, that's a very hard thing. When I was going through the center of this stress, it was very hard for me to see the good, to be positive, to be happy. But it is a process. And I think it is something we can be better able to do over time. Are we still able to see the skills of people around us? You know what? Even when we're not in trouble, are we able to do some of these things? The skill of an architect, or how mothers can take care of kids, and you wonder, how in the world do you do that? When there are four kids and they're whining and stuff, and she's happy and doing a great job. And I sometimes see mothers like that when they're shopping, and one kid's whining and one's doing something else, and the mother's just, no problem, I can deal with this. I think, you know, I'd rip my hair out if I had any. But in the midst of trouble, if we can see the good, some of the good things, and to be able to smell the roses. And there's a, I was told today that there's a saying on the sign outside about the roses, something about the roses looking more beautiful when you get past the thorns. And that's kind of how life is. If we have no thorns, the roses aren't nearly as beautiful. But when we get through the thorns, roses smell nice and they look good. And are we able to, in the midst of it, in the midst of my wife dying suddenly, was I able to see some of the beauty of the people around me, the kindness and the goodness of people? And you've had your stories. I heard the story of somebody whose son is turning their life around. Can you, in the midst of some of that, be able to see some of the good and say, this flower smells beautiful, God is awesome? That's hard. But if we can do that, if we can be that intentional and say, yes, I'm going to look for the good, it changes something here. And say, God, help me through this. When things go wrong, we often feel that God is punishing us. We may even get mad at Him. Instead, we can use these difficulties to learn to see these problems as a blessing in disguise. Our response is learn to make God our refuge by pouring our heart out to Him, trusting Him at all times. In the Psalms it says, God warns the Israelites, it's not in the strength of horses that in which you will win the battle, it is through me. And are we able to come to a place in our life where we can trust God in trouble, and through that allow our character to be built? We need the Holy Spirit. We need to call on God and say, God, help me. For me, that was with the crisis at work in particular, that was my first sign of help. That was where it started for me, saying, God, let's do this your way. I want to learn to do this your way. We need to be intentional. It isn't easy, but when we come through it, I think there's a satisfaction and a joy and a more, how do I say this in English, more closeness. That's not quite the right way to say it, but just, you just become a little closer to God and just more intimate with God as we go through trouble with Him. And it's kind of like in a marriage. When you go through trouble with your spouse and you come through it together, there's a greater intimacy and a greater closeness. And it's the same in our relationship with God. When we go through the troubles together with Him instead of without Him, instead of pushing Him away, pulling Him close, it makes a huge difference. And it helps us to grow in maturity. I would encourage all of us, when trouble comes, cling to God, turn to Him, trust Him and walk through it. Trust Him to walk through it with you. And one of the hard things, I think, through all of this, when we have those problems that are serious, life-threatening, family-threatening, do we still believe that God loves me, that God loves us, that God loves my family? In the midst of that, can we still say, I know that God loves me. I trust God. I believe in Him. Are we able to, as Spafford's song, It Is Well With My Soul? That is a huge challenge that I don't think we can really do on our own, but we can with God. And in the midst of this, of whatever trouble you may face or are facing or will face one day, if we walk through it with God, we may be able to sing It As Well With My Soul. Let me just have a quick prayer with us as we close. Father, help me to believe that you are with me in the good, the bad, and the ugly. Help us all. Help us to want to grow in our relationship, and that when trouble comes, help us not to look for the easy way out, but to trust you and to call on you and to do it your way, to walk through it the way you choose and the way you want us to, trusting and believing that you love us and that you will not bring us harm. May we this morning give ourselves to you, commit our hearts to you, to say you are our God and we are your people and we love you, we trust you. Help us to walk life your way. Amen.
Thank you, Frank. If you can now turn to your hymnals to number 307. And we will sing 1, 3, and then 1 again, please. If you could please rise for the benediction and remain standing for the closing song. May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together you may with one voice glorify the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And now if we could sing number 545, verses 1 and 2, Be Thou My Vision. Thank you.